How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, I think you probably know me by now. I was up here for a little bit, but if you don't, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I say it every week. I'll continue to say it until I go home to be with Jesus. There's no place I'd rather be than at one of our four locations worshiping God and praising His name, and I'm so excited you all decided to be here with us this morning doing that exact thing. And today we're continuing our series entitled, Do You Hear What I Hear? And I said it last week, and I'll say it in the entirety of this series, I believe that the creative team here at Bridge City Church did that video with those amazingly talented individuals that are part of our worship team so that I and the other campus pastors would not sing every single week when we kicked off the sermon. So, they successfully succeeded, but I'm still going to sing at some point during the message. But I'm going to switch it up on us a little bit. I'm not going to sing, Do You Hear What I Hear? I'm going to do another part of the song, and I'm going to do You See What I See? Stay tuned. Stay tuned, because that's what we're talking about today. We talked about hearing last week. We're going to talk about seeing this week. Another one of our senses. Maybe next week we'll talk about tasting. I don't know. We're not. I'm just kidding. We're not going to talk about that. That's not part of the Christmas story. Maybe feeling. I don't know. We'll see. All right, here we go. We're going to talk about faith today and seeing and the fact that you have to take a step forward in your faith and be able to see things. Some of you are here today and you've heard the Christmas story so many times. So many times, there are people in this room that you've been alive longer than me. You've experienced more Christmases than I have. And you may be like, oh, just another Christmas. Just another Christmas story. Here we go. We're going to talk about Mary. We're going to talk about the wise men. We're going to talk about the shepherds. We're going to talk about some frankincense and some myrrh and some gold. Yay. Then Easter's going to come. Happens every year. But I want to refocus us. Help us get a little bit refocused, because this isn't just about singing some Christmas songs. This isn't just singing, Do You Hear What I Hear? This song actually wasn't a Christmas song. It's a song that was written in 1962 during the Cuban Missile Crisis, when people were overflowing with anxiety and fear, and people needed to be refocused on Jesus because they were worried they were going to get blown up. And they needed to be reoriented with some joy and with some peace. They needed to not be focused on anxiety and depression and fear. Sounds like we may need to get reoriented, because I don't know about you, but I look around and our world is filled with depression and anxiety and fear. The gas pump is full of anxiety and depression and fear. I was going to an event yesterday. I needed to fill up before I went, and Get-Go on Fifth Avenue in McKeesport was like a war zone, because I got gas for $3.04 a gallon. Yeah, come on, somebody. That was great. Advantage pay. Woo! But seriously, it was crazy. And I had a trailer on my car. I had to pray in a spirit to get a spot to pump gas. But people were so full of anxiousness. I was just happy. I started singing. But we need people to be able to see things differently, to hear things differently. There's so much stress, so much anxiety during December. There's parties, there's presents, there's family, there's all these things going on. There's my birthday, there's Dr. Sean's birthday, there's Natalie Paladin's birthday. All these huge events. And then there's Jesus's birthday. But we need to refocus on some things. But sometimes we can't see it because we're not focused. We need to slow down and just look. Does anybody know what an auto stereogram is? Anybody know? You all know, but you had no idea what it was called. Neither did I. Here it is. I hate these things. We switched it up. Did somebody figure out what the one was from the first worship experience? What was it? A dinosaur? Okay, I got worried that it was something not good. That's why we switched it. Because I had no idea what it was. Nobody did. You stare at this thing, you're supposed to be able to see something. I don't see it. I have no idea what that is right now. Nothing. It looks like a bunch of the candy nerds. That's all I see is nerds. A bunch of green ones. But if you stare at that long enough, you're supposed to see a picture. I don't see it, but that doesn't mean that there's not a picture within that picture. So it doesn't mean that it's not there, because it is. So here's the big idea. To see the Christmas story differently, you have to have eyes of faith. You need to hear things. You need to believe it. You need to obey it. You need to see it differently. 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It might have felt like God was silent. Things felt dark. Things felt cold. Things felt empty. People were struggling with their faith in the midst of darkness. Where is God? They were wandering. They were wondering, what's going on? But he was there all the while. Last week we focused on Mary. Today, some wise men. Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2. We're going to roll through this today. We're going to go fast. Y'all ready? Buckle up. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. No, I'm just kidding with you. We're going to be here till about 1:30, so we'll serve snacks about 1:15. I'm just kidding with you. The children's workers in Bridge City Kids would strike. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. Everybody say King Herod.
King Herod.
Now boo. Boo. He's like the Cleveland Browns when they were good. Oh, never mind. That never happened. The Baltimore Ravens. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it arose, and we have come to worship him. So who are these wise men, the wise guys? Who are they? What are they doing? They were magi. They were the intellectual elite of their time. They were really smart people. They were Persian astrologers. They were studiers. They were brilliant men. They were people that just wanted to know and wanted to learn. They were intellectual types. Guys that I probably wouldn't hang around because they would give me a headache. Catch my drift? Like they had big books. Want to read all the time. I'm a learner. Leaders are learners, but they would try to prove everything wrong. They would just study and study and study and study. Here's the thing. Do you ever meet somebody like that? They just read the Bible to prove it wrong. They just want to read the Bible to prove it wrong. But those people ultimately become some of the most adamant defenders of the Word of God. They become some of the most adamant defenders of the gospel because you can't prove it wrong. You can't. Once you meet him, once you experience him, it's undeniable. He's undeniable. So they start traveling. They would have traveled in big groups. We often think, oh, there's three of them because of the gifts, you know, the gold, the myrrh, the frankincense. You know, I'm going to say, you know, what about those gifts? But Elder Matt's going to talk about those a little later and give you a brilliant, deep, doctrinal teaching about them. But I'm going to talk about them in a fun way. I don't have enough time. But they would have been very wealthy men. There would have been a lot of them. Traveling 900 miles plus. for months, probably up to 2 years, because they wanted to experience Jesus. Some of us, man, I got to drive through a tunnel. I got to cross a bridge. Oh, there's frost on my car this morning. My remote starter's not working. Oh, it's raining. I wonder if the ushers are going to have the umbrellas. Somebody's in my parking spot. Do you believe I had to park in the aerospace lot and walk through the alley today? They were on a faith journey, all because they just wanted to experience Jesus. They followed signs because they just wanted to experience him. 900 plus miles, they followed the signs. Some of you in the room are going to see this picture that pops up. You're going to be like, what is that? It's a map. You used to unfold them, and then you used to have to pray in the spirit to fold it back up. They traveled far because they wanted to get there. Lennon's four. He's almost five. He'll be five in February. We have a goal that by the time he's seven, we're going to go to. He doesn't know this goal yet. I set the goal. But by the time he's seven, we're going to ride our bikes to D.C. By the time he's seven, we're going to do it. It's a big goal, but we want to get there. I don't know what's in D.C. that we want to see. Maybe we'll find a good burger joint or something, but we're going to get there. They're almost done with a trail, 3,727 miles from the East Coast to the West Coast. The bike trail is almost completed. Now, I don't know if Jesus would be on the trail the whole way. I might need to personally go meet him when I'm done with it, if we ever did it. But the Magi wanted to complete something. They wanted to get there. They followed the signs. They were searching. So my question is, you're here today. Some of you are here just because a baby got dedicated. But what are you searching for? You just here because you're going to lunch afterwards? Or are you searching for something? Are you looking for something? We're all searching, but sometimes we just can't see it. Sometimes we just can't see what we're searching for. There are people right now in this room that are in a really dark place. You're in a dark place right now. And if you admit that you're searching for something, there are people around you that are going to help you see it. This week, I got refocused on why we do what we do. I got refocused on why there are invite cards on your seat for our Christmas candlelight worship experience on Wednesday, December 21st, 2021. December 21st, 2022. I got refocused. My prayer used to be that I want everybody that I went to high school with to meet Jesus. And Jesus said, you know what, Nick, your harvest is a little too small. Why don't you pray for everybody that ever went to high school? I said, okay, God, but can I just start with everybody that I went to high school with? He said, yeah, start there. I got a call this week from somebody that I went to high school with. He said, I'm coming. He said, I'm going to invite somebody that we also went to high school with. He's in a dark place. And I believe that that person that's in a dark place is going to invite somebody else. They're going to invite somebody else. If you can see it, all you got to do is see it. You got to share your experience. You got to share what you're searching for. Those invites aren't for you. Those invites are for somebody else. Have a little faith to invite somebody else. There's a school that's allowing Jesus to come in. Matthew 2, 3 through 4, King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting with the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" Herod was a great political leader. He was troubled. He was angry. He was upset. Not everybody had great joy because of Jesus. He was searching, but it created anxiety and disruption in his life. He wanted to destroy Jesus. Jesus' birth didn't excite everybody. He was unnerved. I want to let you know that in your quest to find Jesus, in your search to find Jesus, there's going to be people that aren't happy. There's going to be people that are uninterested, disinterested, and angry. There's going to be King Herods in your life. Verses 5 and 6, "In Bethlehem in Judea they said, 'For this is what the prophet wrote, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not least among the ruling cities of Judea. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd of my people.'" They were reading the word of God. They were understanding what was promised to them. They were walking towards the promises of God. Listen, we're inviting people into what God has for us. We're inviting people into meeting him. We have no problem inviting people into things that we've experienced. Let me give you an example. How many of you have ever been to a restaurant? I love audience participation. If you don't raise your hand right now, I'm going to take you to a restaurant. How many of you have ever been to a restaurant? Oh, don't put your hand up so I take you to a restaurant. Y'all have all eaten at a restaurant before. Eaten. I'm tired. This is my second one, and we had child dedications. Listen, if you've had food at a restaurant before, you have shared whether or not you had a good or a bad experience. If you had a good experience, you shared it with somebody, and you probably invited them along or told them to go. Let me share an experience with you. How many of you have ever been to Chenicola in Irwin? It's called Chenicola, not Senicola, first off. How many of you have ever been? Some of you are going to go now. It's an amazing Italian restaurant. Amazing. It's wonderful. Handmade pasta, sauces. The bruco is unbelievable. Truffle cream sauce, mushrooms, mascarpone, oh, bacon. You'll eat for 3 days. They have a lamb shank pasta. Crazy. Unbelievably good. You got to go. You got to experience. You got to make reservations, though. How many of you love Italian food? How many of you want to go to Chenicola now? Let me share something else with you. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Romans 10, 17. I met Jesus by myself at 12:07 a.m. on a Monday morning. I was in my room on the third floor of my house in an attic. I was scared, depressed, full of anxiety and fear. I didn't know what was going on in my life. I cried out to God and said, "God, there's got to be more than this. There's got to be more than this in this life than what I'm going through right now. If you'll have me, if you'll take me, I'm yours." And a wind rushed into that room. No window was open. I'm not a brilliant man, but I know the heat rises. And it was a cool breeze. And a peace and a comfort and a joy flooded that room like I never experienced before in my life. And I experienced the presence of God like I never did before. And I said, God, I am yours, and I will follow you all the days of my life, and I will do whatever you've called me to do, and I am yours, and I believe in you. And I started reading his word. I opened my Bible, and I just started reading it out loud, and my faith began to grow. My faith came by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. If you've never spoken the word over your family, over your life, in your home, start. If you've never opened his word and read it aloud in your home, start. Hearing creates a hunger. And whenever you get around people that have experienced him in a way that you haven't, you want that. You want more. You want to experience him the way that they have. Put yourself in the right positions. Some of you really want Chenicola right now because you're like, I love Italian food. That sounds great. I really love homemade sauce. I can't make that. I'll go somewhere where they can. Some of you really want to experience God the way that I did. Some of you want to see him the way that I did. And that's okay. Keep staring. Put the audio stereogram up there. Keep looking. Keep spending time with him. Matthew 2, 7 through 8, then Herod called for a private meeting. The wise men, he learned from them and the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem, search carefully for this child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. He was lying. He wanted to kill him. There's going to be Herods in your life. There's going to be people in your life that try to distract you from Jesus, that try to knock you off from your faith. And let me give you a little hint. Those little Herods in your life are in your pocket. It's a little computer Herod. It's a tiny computer Herod. Sometimes you just need to go like this with your computer Herod. Get rid of it. Especially if it's an Android, that one's really going to distract you. That thing could blow up. Start just worshiping, praising him. Open your Bible. Get off the internet once in a while. It's going to distract you. After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them, and they stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. A calmness, a delight, a gladness. Just like that wind that I experienced when Jesus flooded my room, they experienced it whenever they stopped. That joy, that calmness, that delight, that gladness, as if God was extending his favor to these men. You better believe in those 900 miles there were obstacles. You better believe that they had to push past some things, that they had to jump over some hurdles. You better believe in that two-year journey that there were some things that they had to overcome. There's some things in your life that you're going to have to overcome if you want to experience Jesus, if you want to really experience this calmness, this delight, this gladness, and especially during the month of December, because there's parties, there's family, there's stress, there's gifts, there's presents, there's money, there's health, there's all this stuff that's trying to distract you. There's a bunch of little King Herods running around. My four-year-old son just ran up here. I don't know how he got out of Bridge City Kids. I don't know how. I have no idea. All I know is I saw him running up here, and my wife was like, hi. He tried distracting me. My wife's gone now. I don't know where my son is. There's going to be distractions. There's going to be obstacles. He didn't have shoes on. Kevin looked over too, like, Lennon's here. and I don't have my phone. Whether it's your education that's trying to hold you up, whether it's religion that's keeping you stuck, it's not about religion, it's about relationship. It's about relationship. Pittsburgh, this mentality that I just got to stay in tradition keeps so many people stuck. Oh, I got to go to a church building. You know, I'll bring you a picture and you can look at the building while you sit here. This is the church. The people sitting next to you are church. This building has nothing to do with the church. It's just a place where we gather, where we can go down to Taco Bell and have church. Come on. Kevin said amen to that because they got nacho fries right now. If they didn't have nacho fries, he wouldn't want to go. We can have church anywhere. We're going to have church at McKeesport Senior High School on December 21st. People get in the way. People sometimes are an obstacle. You got to get through it. You got to get through it. Matthew 2:11, they entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They saw him. They looked upon him. They experienced him. They worshiped him. They got down on their knees. They kissed the ground. They expressed honor and respect. These men, these intellectual, brilliant men, rich men, bowed down. Every knee shall bow. There may be people in here, I feel uncomfortable worshiping. I can't clap my hands. I can't sing. Guess what? When you experience that joy, when you experience that calmness, when you experience that peace, there is nothing more than you can do than to worship. You just got to get over some obstacles. Do you see what I see? All the things that keep us from worshiping and bowing down are obstacles. They're obstacles. What happens when you can't see? You got to push through. You got to push through. You got to get around some people that can see for you. You got to. You got to get around some people that can see through for you and help you and push through. Hebrews 11:1. The worship team's going to start to make their way up. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Here we go. Let's throw that auto stereogram up again. I still don't know what it is, but I got faith that there's actually something in that picture. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Everything that we've talked about so far, every word that I've spoken, every verse that I've read, every single illustration about the wise men, every obstacle that they went through, everything that they did, all the things we talked about with King Herod all led to this moment. I'm going to read three verses to you. Of Ephesians 1. We're going to keep this image behind me as I read the verses. Because it's really a prayer. that we would have the eyes of our hearts enlightened. It has nothing to do with your physical eyes. It has everything to do with your heart. That the eyes of our hearts would see. When my room was flooded with that calmness and with that peace and with that joy, I could see nothing. But my heart was overwhelmed with vision. Do you see what I see? Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which you have been called. God is calling each and every one of us. Some of you have answered the phone, some of you have not yet. But the phone's been ringing. What are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints? You may be thinking, I'm not a saint. It's a process. We're all sinners, saved by grace, and we get to walk out this sanctification process. We get to become more like Jesus every single day from the day we meet Him. And what is this immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe? According to the working of His great might, and He worked in Christ Jesus when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places. Listen, God's not just trying to give you power and strength to make it to tomorrow or make it through the rest of the day. He's not just trying to give you enough faith to see how to get through today or get through December. He's trying to give you enough faith to see for eternity. So I'm going to make an offer to you that today could be your day. December 11th, 2022. Today could be the day that you receive the greatest gift that's ever been given to the world. Today could be the day that you finally see it. That your eyes be enlightened to the hope of the world. If you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want today to be your day. That you receive Him as the forgiver of your past and the leader into your future. And I want you to do something really simple. And just lift your hand up to heaven and say, Pastor, that's me. I don't have a day. I don't have a time. I don't have a place. Anyone at all today. Maybe you're afraid of what the person in front of you or behind you or beside you may think. Here we go. Don't let them be a King Herod. Because nobody wants to be a King Herod. I believe that. They don't want to. They've believed for you. They've prayed for you. They may have even invited you here. They don't want to be a Herod. They don't want to hold you back. They don't want you to think that they would be discouraged or upset. They would celebrate. As a matter of fact, heaven would rejoice. So one last moment, anyone at all, want today to be your day where you know that you receive the greatest gift in the world. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You so much for giving us an enlightenment. I thank You that our hearts, our minds will be focused on You and Your Word. God, thank You so much. In Jesus' name, amen.